This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Go. Jungle ball,
to Two in the One Horse Open Sleigh. It's a very special episode of Two in the Think Tank.
A very special Christmas Eve episode.
I'm dreaming of a white think tank.
Chris Special?
A white think tank? I think you're referring to the Institute for Public Affairs.
Anyway. You did it, Andy. You did it. Everybody's going to get that. Even people in Australia.
I mean, let the he who is not a white think tank cast the first stone. I think I'm not in a good position to be... Anyway, let's move off this topic. Today we're only coming up with Christmas ideas. Christmas sketches.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, is that right? Okay, well, I think what we'll do, Andy, this is how I'm going to approach this, because yeah. It feels restrictive.
Right, great, because when I texted you yesterday and I said, why don't we do a Christmas episode, and you said, great, sounds good, I assumed we were completely on the same page that we would be coming up with Christmas sketches.
Okay, well, that's great. And if that's what you want, that's what I'm going to do. But I am still going to come up with regular ideas, and then I'm going to make them Christmassier.
Well, this is the thing. As we know from Die Hard, everything can be a every sketch is a Christmas sketch if you set it at Christmas.
Exactly. So,
don't worry.
Exactly. So, like, it could be a guy who's riding his bike. He's a teenager, and he's like... trying to get up onto the curb, and so he's like jumping his bike up onto the curb, which is mostly just lifting your front wheel and then letting the back wheel hit the thing.
Oh,
like that. And from that impact, his testicles are twisting in his ball bag, and then it creates a lot of pain. This is a fear my mom put in my mind when I was a kid.
Around the very specific situation of jumping up onto a curb, or is it just
with your bike? Yeah.
So your mum said, hey...
Because it had happened to another kid.
This happened to a kid. Right. Doing this. Your mum confuses correlation with causation a lot, I feel. Didn't she have the thing about somebody or other ate a banana?
It's funny that you should bring that up. Because, Andy, if you actually notice, every time that there is causation, there actually is correlation. So actually correlation causes causation.
Oh, but that could be a coincidence. I know, Alistair, that historically correlation and causation have been linked. But I think it would be foolish to leap to the conclusion that, oh, just because wherever there's causation, there's also correlation. Just because that has happened in the past. That seems anecdotal. I don't know if anybody's looked into this.
Well, you know, I knew a guy who actually confused... he actually thought that corrugation was causation.
Corrugation does not equal causation.
Yeah.
I was driving over a really rough road, and then one of the screws undid in my glove box, and the glove box fell off. Right?
That was because really of the bumpy. Corrugation.
And it was because of the corrugation, so I'm pretty sure. Oh, my friend.
No.
No, you poor simple soul.
It's simple. The corrugation does not mean causation.
And probably you know what makes this a Christmas sketch is because
what's that?
Well,
he was driving on
driving
Christmas
through
Day.
The outback back in a rusty Holden Ute, just in like that Aussie Jingle Bells.
Oh, I've never heard that one.
In a rusty Holden Ute, it's just Christmas time is Esky in the boot, you know, all that crap. It's just like imagine what an Australian
Batman,
version of Jingle
Batman
Bells.
Batman light an egg.
Yeah, that's right. There's nothing more Australian than Bruce Wayne. The most Australian name is Matt Stewart.
The Matt Stewart.
Alistair, this episode is going really well. And I mean that. Yeah. I'm incredibly sincere. Christmas is
a time for
honesty. I'm
not even sure if you're joking when you're saying you're being incredibly sincere.
I'm not. So far, this has ticked every box, all my boxes, even my secret intimate box that nobody knows about. My G box. You know,
somewhere you can reach by putting your finger in your eyes. That's right.
When you meet a new beloved, a potential beloved, they have to tick a lot of boxes. But there is, of course, the G box, the one box that they can tick. That means it's like the golden snitch. None of the other boxes matter. They can achieve approval, a full 100% score of approval by ticking the one box, you know, that is.
Andy, I have a question. Prostate. Why don't they make the whole rectum out of the G box? Why'd have to rummage in there and find it? It would make more sense to make the whole thing out of something that feels good when you touch it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the risk with the rectum. I think that, you know,
Do you think that somewhere along, like, in evolution, right, there was a creature whose whole, like, rectum or whatever is it, that part right inside, you know, right across the other side of the door, that was all G-spot.
The atrium, the foyer, the lobby.
The lobby. The rectal lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And with the rectal concierge. That's a turd. Can I help you? Can I help you with anything? Tickets to see the Knicks?
You've heard of the Maitre D? Well, I'm the Maitre A.
The Maitre P.
What's the P stand for in your version? Poo. Poo? Oh, great.
Nice. I assume Maitre D, the D is for dick?
I guess so, yeah, but I didn't... I said that this is the Maitre...
What? I don't guess that's true. I guess so. I suppose that probably is right. But then, every time that thing would go to the toilet, it would rectal orgasms or something like that. And then when it got the urge to procreate...
The urge to purge. The urge to splurge?
No, the urge to procreate.
Yes.
Right? The horniness. Then that would end up being satisfied by going to the toilet, by pooping. And so then that thing would just die out.
Yeah, but...
And that's probably why evolution killed the... You know, this is, you know, like the oil industry killing the electric vehicle. This is evolution killing the full G-spot rectum animal.
Yep. No, I think you're right, Alistair. And I think, you know, it might be possible. And, like,
and that creature
to go
was a reindeer.
that was the last one. That's great.
The last reindeer?
Oh, yeah. The last creature to have the full pleasure butthole. I love this Christmas episode. I think there is a sketch, maybe not one that we would do, Alistair.
Yes.
Maybe one that someone else would do.
Amy, which is, you know what's great about that? Is that we actually almost do no sketches.
Yeah.
So you could say that before every sketch idea.
Yeah. Well, except for the bit about other people doing it. Because almost none of our sketches get done by other people either. But
sure.
Alistair,
but that doesn't... Hey, Andy, long after we're gone, these sketches will live on.
Well, that's the thing.
You know? And so there's the eternity. We're going to send one off on a... We should make it our mission.
To aliens.
To send one off into space and have them on a satellite that broadcasts into deep space.
Could we do the first sketch on the moon? Do you think that could be something?
I mean, it feels very doable.
We know Elon likes comedy. Right?
Yes. And he loves being flattered. All we got to do is flatter him.
Yes.
We got to do it before he lets us sink onto the moon or whatever. Let that sink into the moon.
Do you think that would be the first sketch on the moon?
Well, it could be if Elon's in charge.
Yeah.
Because it's like, the comedy's not illegal on the moon yet.
No.
So he'll, that's still, the kind of joke that you can do.
That'd be great. That'd be so good for, like, one of those truly edgy comedians, you know? Someone who's really pushing the boundaries, like Jimmy Carr. Yeah. Oh, he's really...
Yes, of course. That would be really difficult, though, pushing the boundaries on a place where there's no boundaries.
Like the moon.
Well, if comedy's not illegal, like it is here on Earth,
yeah, well, that's
then
what
there
I
are
love
no
about
boundaries.
It. I love about it. That you
so then he
go.
Can't even push a boundary pushing comedian would just fall over.
I think a genius like Jimmy Carr could do it. I've seen some of his recent stuff where he just reads out jokes he's been given by people in the audience, and then reads out another joke he's been given by people in the audience to the people who've paid to come and see him. And I think
he's one of those real boundary-pushing comedians. One of those comedians who's not afraid to say what his writers have written down.
To say what all his writers are thinking.
Yeah.
That Jimmy Carr, he's just saying what we're all thinking. Oh, by the way, I'm one of the writers in Jimmy Carr's writer's room. Anyway... I think the idea of a comedian who's had to go to the moon because it's the only place where you can still do real comedy, do real jokes.
Okay, yeah.
And then I think the sketch is that, and then seeing the big setup, the amount of work that's gone into it, the huge expense to put this edgelord comedian on the moon. And I guess fly a whole audience up there as well, right?
Yeah.
But then also seeing that the jokes that they're doing are still the same hack shit that every edgy comedian thinks is good.
Just complaining about things being woke.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I heard they cancelled the song Ba Ba Black Sheep. You can't say that anymore. Because apparently it's racist, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody goes, well, I'm going to keep saying it.
I hear you've got to say... Bar, bar, sheep of colour now. Something like that. That'd be great.
Yeah, oh, you've got to say bar, bar, you know, I guess transparent or something like that. Oh, but that's probably offensive to ghosts.
That's really good. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, it's going to be so good.
It's going to be so good. This is a great sketch. And how is it Christmassy, Alistair? Well.
Well, you see Santa fly by on his reindeer on Christmas Eve. With his reindeer, because he goes above the atmosphere.
Of course, that, that makes
less,
so much
less
sense.
Wind resistance.
Yeah, less.
And also, it would probably be better that when the vacuum of space evaporates all his and the reindeer's blood, by there being so low pressure.
Yeah, and that would be good.
A lot less weight to carry.
Yeah, of course.
That's how Santa can be so chubby and be pulled by just a bunch of animals. Mm.
It's mostly blood weight. I've been putting on a lot of blood recently. Oh, how about that? A blood blister all over your body. How do you feel about it?
Did we come up with a guy who was all blood blister?
Did we?
I feel like that's something we've discussed.
Oh. I mean, it feels jolly. It feels very Christmassy.
Yeah.
Blood, well, because he'd be all red.
Well,
I mean,
you know what?
They're
that
more,
would be perfect.
They're more
if
sort
you were,
of a blackish
striped,
blue, aren't they?
If you were striped blood blister and then regular blisters.
This would be a great new kind of temporary tattoo type thing.
Yeah.
Right? A new fashion thing, the blood blister. And you could, yeah, as you say, get it all over you in the shape of Santa's clothing. Was that what you were mentioning?
But I was talking about having a regular blister, which is white as well.
Yeah, well, that would be
some of the white areas.
Exactly.
The end of the hat, the rim of the hat, maybe the edge of the bottom of the jacket, the trimming, all the trimming.
So this is a sketch in which it's an office Christmas party, right? And for whatever reason, they accidentally shred the Santa costume for the guy who's going to be Santa for the office Christmas party.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do, but then earlier in the day, somebody had pinched their finger, the tip of their finger, in the edge of a stapler. and got a bright red blood blister. And they and the boss is there. He knows everyone's expecting to see Santa Claus come out at the party, and he doesn't want to let them down. And he looks at the blood blister on this person's figure, and he looks at a big box of staplers, and then he looks at it's three PAs, and then he looks at a diagram of the human body, and then he looks at a picture of Santa Claus, and then he looks at a computer screen containing the words blood blister Santa Claus costume.
And with regular blisters for the what?
With regular blisters for the... He looks at another... He looks at a notebook that has that written down on it.
Yeah. You know what I like? There's a one thing detail I would love to add. I think that instead of somehow tearing up the Santa costume, the work had somehow said, we're no costumes for Christmas this year. We're not doing costumes anymore.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like that. And then he's found a way. He's like, well, I don't need a costume. I can be in the nude covered in blood blisters and regular blisters and still be dressed up as Santa. Because he loves Christmas cheer.
Yes. And I think the moment in which the blood blister Santa Claus comes out into the middle of the party.
Yeah.
And everyone stops to look at him. And then the party goes great. He's naked, by the way, as well, with blisters.
He's naked, but it's all up and down. All his genitals are covered by blood blisters.
technically, does that mean he's not exposing himself? Well, that's not my penis. My penis is behind a blood blister.
Yes, that's right. This is a puffy skin that's gone over. And it'd be nice if maybe somehow in the beard, so that it's not just color. Maybe he could somehow pinch a lot of skin tags into his kind of beard area, and they all get blistery.
Or somehow slice the skin off from underneath his chin and have that hang down like a beard. I knew you'd like that. I knew that'd get you going. I know what you like.
But how do you get flabby skin to blister? Does it still blister if you get enough heat on it? Is it like crackling?
There's only one way to find out. I reckon, well, maybe you get the blisters going first, and then you slice the skin flap off. You probably got to do that.
Of course, yeah, but then you got to.
It's like you got to cream the butter and the sugar before you add the eggs. This is basic.
Do your wets, then your dries.
Blood blister Santa Claus 101.
Yeah, this is BBSC 101.
Another Christmas thing that there should be is there should be a specific Christmas mythical figure who only delivers batteries. We should introduce this to the Christmas mythos.
Mm.
Is that there's a secondary jolly old elf who What's brings that? The batteries, or maybe shits them out onto the floor. There could be some
like a rabbit that
like
lays
a rabbit
eggs,
exactly
like a, maybe like a gecko or something like that, or like a, you know, an iguana,
some sort of electro vampire iguana that comes and puts its fangs into the power point and drains electricity and shits out batteries. And so when the kids come out in the morning, there's a little scattering of batteries, including button batteries, which we know they love to eat, all over the floor.
Children. Oh, it would be such a nice snack for the children.
Something to nibble on.
They like to.
So mum and dad don't have to get up straight away. Yeah. Oh, just go eat some of the batteries, you could
say. Some of the button batteries.
Yes.
I was trying to find... I was trying to find types of batteries so that you could, so that I could come up with a name. Lithium ion.
Lithium ion.
L-I.
No, NiCad. NiCad. Nickel cadmium.
Nickel.
Lead acid.
Nickel. MH. Lead acid.
NiCad.
Well, the lead acid,
fairy.
Iguana.
Yes.
Fairy. Fairy's good. Oh, you know what? It'd be great for a thing for Mrs. Claus to do.
Oh, of course. she shits out the batteries, does she?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Because
Does she still have fangs that she puts into the power?
She never gets to leave the South Pole or the North Pole.
Mm.
She, not even in the off season, she never, you never hear of her leaving. And so now she's opening up her own thing. She's seen a flaw in everything that Santa does.
Mm, the Santa flaws.
Which is that the Santa flaws. And,
but it's spelled F-L-A-U-S-E.
F-L-A-U-S-E.
Mm.
It's really good. The Santa flaws, Andy. They need Christmas movies every year.
They need them. They need them. That's the one kind of movie that they actually need. They need Christmas movies and Christmas songs. I think if I gave up everything else and just dedicated myself to trying to write Christmas songs, I'm sure I've come up and said this on the podcast before. I reckon I could write good ones. Good enough. Good enough to meet that need.
You could. I mean, imagine, like, this is the end of your life. It's not the end, but it's close.
Yeah.
It's the last 10 years, right? And you're getting interviewed on the news. And you're an old guy, you know, and like, not old in the way that you kind of already seem old now. Like, you already seem like an elderly man, but in the young man's body. I mean, you're actually now a very elderly man in a sort of a regular elderly man's body. You know, and the news is interviewing you, and they're saying, this is the man of 10,000 Christmas songs. And, you know, and then you're kind of, you're taking them through your workshop where you've written some of them down. You've got big stacks of paper, and you've got places where you, you know, you write things down on pieces of paper. You've got a little conductor's thing for yourself where you kind of, you conduct.
In the mirror.
In front of a, you know, and then you, then there's like empty chairs there, and then you run and you go into the chair and you sort of play an instrument.
Wow,
and then
you run back quite to the conductor's thing.
Eh? Yeah, I mean, we don't know how well you're playing it yet.
Okay.
But, you know, you also sound insane.
Yeah.
It's funny you didn't point that out.
No, I'll take it.
But, and then, and they're like, oh, yeah, and then you're singing a few for them and things like that. But then the whole thing is happening because you've just had your first hit. This was the whole point of your whole life.
Yes.
You decided to dedicate, you're like, I knew that I could do it at some point. Mm. And you've had your first, you know, number one hit. You know, because Christmas songs, you know, like All I Want for Christmas, that makes it to number one almost every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you could do that.
Mm. No, that's exciting.
I don't know if that, do you think that's a sketch in some way?
I think it needs an extra twist in the end there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that, the idea of a guy who dedicates his life to,
The world has ended. It's the day before an asteroid hits the Earth. But I still make it to number one at the moment.
Well, it's the, maybe she's saying it was the most listened to song of, you know, 2054 or something like that.
Yeah, but then it reveals that we're the only two people left on Earth.
You're the only two people left on Earth,
And a music journalist.
Yeah.
That's fun. And now that's a comedy sketch.
Now that's comedy right there.
Earlier, we were talking about cause and effect, which of course made me think of Santa Claus. Now, we know that we've already successfully made one great Christmas movie by adding a letter to the word clause, right?
And well, we Santa also took Claus. One letter away, don't forget that. It wasn't for clause.
What's that?
We also took a letter away.
The Santa Claus. Well, hang on. Listen. Wait. You're not...
Oh, I thought you were talking about Santa Claus.
No. Oh, yeah. We did do that as well. That's true. But I'm talking about the Santa Claus, the movie, with Tim Allen, right?
So, is that actually supposed to be Santa Claus?
Well, it's Santa Claus, C-L-A-U-S, right? That's what Santa... That's how his name is spelled. But they added an E on the end to make it Santa Claus, as in...
Yeah, so then it's normally the name should be Santa Claus.
Probably, yeah. Well, I think it originally, it was Sinterklaas, maybe in German or Dutch or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think we should explore with adding or removing other letters from the word clause, C-L-A-U-S, to see what what else we can achieve, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, what about Santa B Claus? Well, I thought it was because, and then I was like, oh, this is going to be perfect. And then I started to say it, it didn't come out perfect.
Well, just, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just Claus.
Santa,
just Claus.
Santa. Satan. Well, Satan Claus must have been done, definitely. Santa Claus. Santa. CA, comma, US. California, United States. I'm enjoying this. This is very fruitful, this line that I've forced us to pursue, Alistair.
Wait, okay, look. Santa Claus, Clausu, Santa Clausy, Santa Claus, Santa Clausy. I think that almost feels like something. It's like someone who's close to being Santa Claus.
Yeah,
but not
quite Santa Claus. Santa Claus.
Santa Clothes.
Santa Clothes. Brilliant. There will be somewhere at every major motion picture studio, there is a team of people trying to come up, spend the whole year trying to come up with Christmas puns that they can base a fucking movie on. I guarantee to you that that is the only part of the media universe in which you need the title or you haven't got a fucking film. Right?
Sure.
You need to have, you know, Father Christmas, let's see, Father Christmas, Mother Christmas, Brother Christmas.
Brother Christmas, yeah. Cousin Christmas.
Further Christmas. Farmer Christmas.
Farmer
it's not
Christmas.
Quite good, it's not quite a pun, but it'll do. Oh, get Reese Witherspoon on the phone.
Father Christmas.
See, I would enjoy a sketch that is this.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just Father for me, Shist, but...
Shistness. Father Miss Mahistness.
This is the guys. They're in the think tank. This is the whole sketch, what we're doing right now. And it's people coming up with Christmas puns and then trying to pitch, you know, then they're put on the spot by the room to say, well, what's the film about... Father Fahistmas.
Fahistmas.
I think you can write that down.
What about Clistmas? Oh, I'll write it down.
Earlier on, I was... Clistmas?
You know, they changed the R and make it an L. Clistmas.
Silent Night, but it's K-N-I-G-H-T.
But they also... I'm not twisting it in some racist way. They say all the father Christmas.
I didn't hear any racist element to this.
Good. And don't you start.
Don't start hearing it. Don't play this back. Earlier I was thinking, well, I was trying to pitch to you a sketch that we wouldn't do, but someone else might, which is it's just that scene on where Mary has just given birth, right, to the baby Jesus. And Joseph, these three fucking kings show up at the door, right? Three men claiming to be kings.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's letting them in. Like, she's just given birth. I mean, uninvited pop-in guests, people you don't even know. You're like, no, come on in. I mean, it's hard enough to get into these days to get into the birthing suite.
That's true. Or you guys are going to put on masks?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I guess if you're in some dirty manger. Right? Firstly, you probably don't even know who owns the manger.
Yeah.
And if there's kings, you probably, if you're back in those days where kings could just slaughter anybody.
Yeah.
You probably learn a healthy respect towards kings.
Well, they're kings.
Three of them.
Kings from the Orient, right? Kings of Orient are. And.
Oh, I don't recognize your authority here.
Well, do they have diplomatic immunity?
Well, that's true.
Diplomatic immunity. So they can.
I have diplomatic immunity. Is one of them Russian?
Yeah, that's right. South African? Was it the lethal weapon? Was it South African, the guy with the diplomatic immunity?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think in that movie, meant he
weapon.
Could just do whatever the fuck he wanted. I'm not sure if that's how diplomatic immunity works.
It's pretty cool that we give some people that.
I know, South Africans.
but we give some people South Africans.
Yes.
It's a bit odd that it's like, because like the idea when you give somebody diplomatic immunity, the idea behind it is that they won't go out and commit murders. Mm. You go, we'll give you this, but don't commit any murders, okay?
Yeah.
Be reasonable, but why would you be reasonable?
You've got immunity.
You've got immunity. You've got more power than
God.
Maybe the Prime Minister.
Yeah. You can eat the Prime Minister.
If that would be legal for you to do, or you won't get in trouble at least.
What can we do? Yes, he's eating the Prime Minister, but he has diplomatic immunity.
We just have to hope
that the Prime Minister can drag himself away before too much of him gets eaten.
The police are not allowed, can't step in.
We have no power here.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah. Diplomatic immunity. You can't contract a disease. He actually can't die from disease because of his diplomatic immunity. He can breathe underwater. Well,
why?
Because he has diplomatic immunity.
So why? Because he's immune to also pain.
I guess death.
Death
immune
is immune to
the
death.
Need for oxygen.
Diplomatic. That's. I think you're thinking of diplomatic immortality.
I was thinking of that. I was getting it confused.
Yeah, you made one of the classic mistakes.
Mm.
Imagine that. Imagine you ask for immunity, diplomatic immunity, from a genie.
Oh.
And then you go and jump off a building. You go, I finally got it. And you go jump off a building. And then the genie says something like, I don't know. Oh, not the first time that's happened.
I think the idea is that you don't need a genie in this situation, right? It's a situation where somebody they've been appointed a consul general to a different country. They show up, they're told on the as part of their induction that they've got diplomatic immunity. They're so excited they go and leap head first out the second story window. Smashing their head open on the ground and dying instantly. And then you're like, oh, and the people are like, it happened again. we gotta finesse how we deliver this information.
I guess that's the problem, is that, you know, when you're studying international relations to become a diplomat, that's the one thing they don't really need to cover, because that's not important on the job. You know, it would be kind of it'd be crazy for a university to tell you, and by the way, you can commit any crime you want once you get over there, right? You know, and so then they don't bother teaching you that. And then you get on the job and you're like, this is the whole reason I've been wanting to do this job. Mm. People just in class before, you know, university finishes, they're like, and just double checking, once we get the job, we do get diplomatic immunity, right? And he goes, yes. And that's it. That's how they never get clarified.
I think you never see this. You never see dudes in movies who've got immortality. You never see them jumping out of buildings and landing on their heads. But they could, couldn't they? They could.
Wait,
do that.
Guys
all the
in
time.
What?
Guys in movies.
Yeah.
Who are immortal. You never see them enjoying that forbidden fruit.
I mean,
that is
if you were
leaping
immortal,
onto concrete from a really high level and landing on your head, they always like still sort of land in a cool superhero pose or something. But I wouldn't do that.
I know, but if that was your one superpower, was immortality, right? And you didn't have any other powers, but you were involved in crime fighting, you could wait for somebody to walk underneath you, at the bottom of a building, and then you jump down.
Yes.
And you land on them.
Yeah, head first though. Yeah.
That's how you guide yourself. That's how you know where you're going, you know? Mm.
I love it.
Yeah, you could wear a little wingsuit.
They call him the Brick.
Oh, yeah. I think there probably is one guy called the Brick. Because when I was thinking of, like, this comic guy who, you know, like an immortal, I think I like the idea of just a guy who floats through space for, you know, like millions of years and then eventually gets to like another planet and then leads more lives. But there's just that kind of like the suffering and the think, you know, and the waiting would just be so hard. But then I guess you would, you know, like there would be interesting conversations you'd have with yourself during that time. But there'd also be bits where you get sucked into a sun, you know, and you would just spend like millions of years in a sun or billions of years in a sun until that star exploded.
Yeah, my fear is that you might get, you know, you might get one exploding situation. But then the lifespan of the universe wouldn't be long, like the chance of you intersecting with another habitable planet so low. I think you probably would spend all your time just floating or in the heart of a sun.
There's a possibility, but if we're made up of stuff already that used to be part of other stars.
Yeah.
You know,
he would
eventually get to the end of the universe, whatever that is.
Mm.
Like, you know, like he would get, as in when the universe either collapses or whatever, and then he would exist for whatever comes next. If there is anything.
Do you think that the immortality that he's got is the kind where you can continue to live after the universe has ceased to be?
I'm saying it does.
But imagine like you gave you the power to make that decision because you're the one who came up with the idea.
Imagine if you like you're on the dating scene, right? And you go on a date with somebody and it's somebody who's just been through that.
Yeah.
Through one other universe. And then they finally encountered another planet and then they arrive and they're like, "Well, I'm going to might take up dating again." And that's the person you go on a date with. And they would just have like a, I reckon they would have a bit of a stare about them. 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah. 1,000-light-year stare.
1,000-light-year stare.
Yeah. I think that's a sketch. I think the dating show in which he's been floating through space for billions of years and it's a good concept for a sitcom, right? He's been floating through space for billions of years. He's crash-landed on Earth, okay? And he's just ready to start dating again. I'd love to see that play out. His trials and tribulations, trying to find the right one who he can really connect with.
Who could, you know, because also he would have had, whenever the last time he was on a planet, you know, he would have had, you know, 10,000 relationships.
Yeah,
that might have been lifelong for the other partner.
Yeah, I think it's good.
He's a bit of a serial monogamist.
Yeah. Now I had something I wanted to say. Oh no!
Oh, and also just to make it Christmassy, that guy is Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. There you go. Crashing to Earth. Oh, Alistair. It's gone. Was it about this guy floating through space? Was it about dating and relationships? Was it about finding the one? Was it about that magpie that I'm looking at over there? No. I'm really disappointed in myself.
Andy, you must be have a brain failure. Have you been sitting on any toilet seats recently?
That hasn't come up for a while.
You haven't got a disease from one of them?
Early on, I don't have this problem. I don't think about this anymore, Alistair. But early on when Al and I got to know each other, how long ago now? 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
One of my things was that whenever I had a bit of brain fade or when I wasn't firing well mentally or forgot something, I had a bit of paranoia. I used to be quite paranoid about catching some kind of disease, some sort of brain disease of a toilet seat. That would affect my mental capacity, and that I think I had read something about the possibility for herpes to get into your brain. I think that's what I was mostly afraid of.
Sure,
but
herpes just sticks around. But I think we've all got the herpes virus in some form.
Right,
you've already got it. It just depends on which version and which bit it's in. You know, I mean, Andy, that used to talk about that when, before you, your constant state of being was brain fade.
Yeah. Yeah, well, now I know why. There's nothing left.
Why? Yeah. You just got nothing left?
I've got nothing left. I'm a husk.
What happened to the Mother Christmas pooping?
Batteries.
Yeah, I think I wrote that down. Wait, I'll just write that down. Mother Christmas.
What about a sketch in which you can give the greatest gift of all for Christmas, which is forgiveness. Or possibly...
The greatest gift of all, Easter.
Easter.
Imagine that you give somebody, and it's a portal directly to Easter.
Straight to Easter. There aren't any Easter movies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, but what about Hop?
Is that an Easter movie?
Yeah.
Right. There is an Easter movie... doesn't sound as significant, as momentous. Yeah.
Now, how would we make There Isn't Any Easter Movie a Christmas movie?
Well, I think you just did it with a thing where you could give somebody a portal to Easter.
Yeah, but that's making a Christmas movie into an Easter movie. Is a movie called, I think it's not Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's the something of the Guardians, which is like Santa and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and Jack Frost.
Wow.
And
sort of like a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, and there's also the Sandman, and they're all kind of like protecting Earth from some guy who... you know, has dark powder and he creates nightmares and stuff like that. And so then they've kind of, they tried to make a sort of Holidays Extended Universe.
The Holidays Extended Universe. That is what that is, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm. Like the I Lose My Teeth holiday.
Yes.
And then they kind of try to do it a little bit with the Nightmare Before Christmas. Is kind of like there's portals to the different holiday kind of worlds. One of them is, you know, he's in the Halloween world, then he goes out and he tries to go into the portal that takes him to the Christmas world.
That's good. I'm glad they did that. It sounds like it's all under control.
Yeah, I mean, we could do more. We could do sort of more like, you know, government-based holidays. You know, Labor Day, King's Birthday...
It's weird that the government doesn't give us a present for Christmas. I feel like the government should give us a present for Christmas.
I guess if they give us a, you know, if they give us a day off, that shouldn't be enough.
No.
That's not really in the spirit of Christmas.
And I think it should be either you're allowed to commit one crime or you can be forgiven by the government for one thing. Right? You can get something taken off your permanent record.
Yeah.
Or, what else does the government have power over?
Water.
They'll shoot one thing into space for you.
Yeah, I see, that'd be
sketch
good for us.
On the moon.
To get us. I know, but I think that we should just get something that broadcasts our sketches through space. In some kind of universal language.
Oh, that'd be great. Is anybody working on that? Mathematics? Would it be mathematics?
Maybe, but I don't like that as much. You know, I want our sketches to just... I think maybe what we would do is we would release our sketches in about 5 to 10 different languages.
Sure.
And then have them playing like that. And then they should be able to figure it out from based on that.
That should be enough data points.
I think so.
It does feel like once you've got about three languages, something in about three languages, you should be able to work, triangulate it.
Yeah.
Meaning. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder whether that's a thing. Whether, like, you go, oh, like maybe if we were getting signals from planets, you got to separate them to see, you know, a few of the different signals. And you go, oh, that's what they were doing. They were giving us three data points so that we can reinterpret the same thing. It's the same thing, but it's said in three different ways. And then you could figure out what it is.
It feels right, but I feel also, but on intellectually, I can guarantee to you that that's not possible.
No. I don't know. It depends on how simple some of the things are.
I think any situation, any movie or anything where you receive data,
yeah,
they receive something in an alien language and they're able to decode it without knowing the language is impossible. There's no way. That's why that was such a good idea with that Wind Talkers thing in the World War II, where they used people speaking a Native American language,
yeah, Cherokee,
instead of a
like
code. Such a good idea.
Yeah.
We should do that all the time. That should be what all internet encoding is. You should have a Cherokee gentleman in your living in your house. Even the word, the Cherokee has the word key in it, which is great. We spell it Cherokey, and every household has a Wind Talker.
Do we have
when
to
you
ask
want
them
it,
if that's okay?
When you want to, yes, we'll ask them, obviously. But when you want to search for something in incognito mode, you just whisper your search to a Cherokee gentleman.
Yes.
Say, disgusting pornography, please. And then he types it into the search engine in his language.
In that language, yeah. And then somebody else, it goes to somebody else who's doing it. And they look it up.
And they look it up.
And then they describe it to him in Cherokee. And he describes it to you in English. While you masturbate. And then finally, no one would know about
no
all these horrible things that you do to yourself and what you look up. Only one, maybe two people more than currently do will know. So it's almost a good solution.
What's that word for that kind of internet? VPN. It's an alternative to VPN. It really adds the virtual to the virtual private concept. It's a virtually private network. Virtually private. It's just you and two Iroquois elders who know.
It's just like, the thing is, like, you know, having it be elders as well means, like, you know, the respect that in their culture comes towards them for being elders, and the horribleness of the job that they are now forced to do.
Yeah, I mean,
hopefully
this is
not forced.
I think this is potential to be a deeply problematic sketch that we regret very soon, if not immediately.
I know, but, you know, what they could do is, you know, you could easily change it into being a group of people that people don't feel sensitive about. You know,
like
you could...
the Swedes.
Yeah, you could make it the Swedes, you could make it, you know, people... I've been seeing, since I've been mentioning to people about speaking French from Quebec, I've been seeing a lot more of that like, judgment that other French people have towards Quebec people. And I haven't realized
that I'm from... From French people?
Like, people from, from everywhere else in the world who speak French, they think that Quebec French is stupid and sounds weird and bad.
That's probably the way people feel about Australian English, right? I think you've just got a double whammy of being a looked down upon colony.
I know, but I don't think it's exactly. I think maybe the English from England do, but the Americans love the Australians, it seems.
Right.
They kind of look at it in some, you know, a little bit more. I mean, look, any broad statement like this does not.
Well, I think mine still stands then, because it's the English from England who are the.
Yes, I suppose if everything is true, then yes, yours still stands.
All right, Alistair, I reckon it's time for three Christmas words for a Christmas listener. Christmasimo.
Okay. Well, Christmas. I tried to pick the listener with what I felt
christener,
was
the christener.
The christener, the Christmas listener, with what I felt was the Christmasiest name. And so I went for...
Christmas.
Bjorn Hop.
That's extremely Christmassy.
It feels Christmassy, doesn't it? It feels like it's within a 5 kilometer radius of where Santa was created.
I mean, it's a little bit Eastery as well with that hop.
That's true. Yeah, and the Bjorn part almost sounds like Jesus being Bjorn.
This is possibly the most festive name I've ever heard.
Yeah. And it's
to school with a guy called Richard Christmas.
And wow. And it's got an umlaut on it, which it feels like either Santa Claus or Christmas should have on it.
Mm.
Anyway,
I completely agree.
So, would you like to guess what the first word is?
Okay, the first word. Now, these might not be Christmassy words.
Okay.
We just got a Christmassy name. Is that right?
Sure. Yeah, it's up to you. You do what you think.
Okay, well, then the first word I'm going to guess is bauble.
Okay, let me just see here. Now, the first word, Andy, unfortunately, is divination.
Divination. That's quite Christmassy.
Yeah.
Divination.
Kind of
elucidation. Elucidation is the second one.
Elucidation. Oh, God, that's a good guess, Andy. Unfortunately, the second word is chicken.
Divination, chicken bone.
The last one you're saying is chicken? Is bone?
Bone, because I think, you know, when you're divining, when you're doing water divining, you actually want a stick that is shaped quite a lot like a wishbone, which is kind of a Y-shaped bone, and I think the chicken
bone... That's a great solution.
If you were trying to divine for underground chickens, yes?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the third word is bauble.
What is it?
Bauble.
It's not, though. What is it, really?
Eh? Well, it is bauble because... Bjorn Hop asked me to make whatever your first wrong answer was. The third word.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair. I don't think you're allowed to do that. I know there aren't any rules to this, but that feels like it's cheating. And it's
I gave Bjorn... Andy, I gave Bjorn Hop diplomatic immunity. So, even if it's not allowed, he can do it.
All right.
So we got chicken.
Do you think if you were cheating on your beloved and you had diplomatic immunity, you could tell her, well, I'm sorry, I'm allowed to. I have diplomatic immunity.
Oh, what's that word? There is a word that sounds like diplomatic that is marriage, right?
Marital?
Marital?
Diplomatic. A word. Diplodocus?
No, not diplodocus.
Romantic. Romantic. It's got an ick on the end.
There is another. Not matrimony. Maybe I was thinking of matrimonial.
No, okay. I feel like romantic was closer.
What about epithalamic? Might have been epithalamic. Conjugal? Yeah. I think conjugal was what I was thinking of.
Conjugal. You might have been thinking of conjugal.
Yeah, it doesn't sound anything like diplomatic, though.
Not really, no.
What about connubial? Nuptial?
Nuptial immunity.
wedding. Hymenial?
No.
Hymenial is probably what I was thinking, Andy.
Yeah.
Either that or epithalamic.
All right, epithalamic. I'll say it. Come on.
I think it was epithalamic. Eh?
Come on.
All right. So.
So. The word. What were the words again? Divination, chicken,
divination,
bauble.
Chicken, and bauble. I mean, I think the idea of it, you know, the idea that you could hold a chicken and that somehow as you walked around where it and you followed where it pointed its head.
Yeah.
And then it would lead you to something.
You could completely convince people that they had some ability to detect something. Is it cancer?
And then
gold?
Yeah, well, cuz then you could do that thing as well. To prove it by saying, look at this. And cuz like now it must be this way because you know how like you can move a chicken's body and then its head
and
will
keep
stay
their head
the
pointing
spot?
In the same direction. This is a really good one, Alistair. We're onto something here. Mm. Yes. We could start
this
an entire chicken-based wellness regime.
And then occasionally it would look away, you know, like it would have to just want to look at something, you know, with like a bug might fly by or something like that. There's got to be at least 10
and
reasons
good.
Why
that's
a chicken would move its
head. That's the exception that proves the rule. But
that's right.
But yeah, if we can get it to do that thing where it doesn't move and it just keeps looking at the same thing, man.
Mm.
Yeah,
I know.
Great.
But I think that there'd be times when it would, you know, like we're talking two different modes. We're talking the mode when you're like trying to find the area, and then you kind of then you have your I'm proving to the people that this is really working mode when you start moving the body around and the head stays in the same place. And you're
Do you then perform surgery with a chicken? A medical grade chicken, obviously.
Or like as in, I mean, it'd be very clever if you could, you know, in your fingers have a little like a little blade, a kind of little razor blade like that. And you can make a little cut and then pop a little dry corn into the wound. And then just have, you know, just as a bit of sleight of hand. And then have the chicken peck at the thing.
Yeah.
Make it seem like it's really doing something there.
Yeah. you gotta make it seem like the chicken's doing something. Yeah,
you gotta make it seem like this because, you know, if the chicken doesn't do enough, people are not going to be willing to separate with their money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
because for some reason you've set it up where you're paying afterwards, like a restaurant.
I think there's a good movie, a good scene in a movie, and maybe an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Right, or Shyamalan,
yeah.
All the chickens in the world start facing in the same direction.
Oh wow!
For some reason, people just start to notice that all chickens have turned to face the same direction. Now, I don't know how that works on an Earth that is essentially a sphere. I don't know what that means. Are they all looking up into space? Or but there's just a great scene in which somebody is able to. Using data from chickens all over the world, extend and determine the point, the spot where all the chickens are looking, and then
there's a trend in where chickens are looking, and it's all focusing in on one spot.
Exactly.
So, like, some chickens would just be looking down at the ground.
Yeah, 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 looking through the core of the earth.
Yeah,
and I guess we go there for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, go and find that spot, and then what happens?
And you're carrying a chicken in your hands as well to just kind of guide you like a compass.
That would be really good, actually. That would be awesome if all chickens did face the same direction for some reason, and then we could use them for navigational purposes. And you needed to have a chicken on you at all times as a kind of compass.
Yeah, and I mean, you could actually use it for navigation, even if you're going to other places, because you just need to figure out where you're going's
relative.
To where the chicken's looking.
Yeah.
Essentially, the chickens become a sort of a little needle floating in water. Yeah. But, I mean, you want to be carrying your chicken around like that.
It's maybe not even that interesting, really, now that you put it like that. You know? now that a chicken's just become a compass.
I know, okay, but it's still useful. It's still interesting in the fact that we don't know why the chickens are doing that.
Well, we send the army there, right? There's this huge... expeditional force. There's a big force. Maybe it's in space. Maybe it's on the moon, right? And we do this elaborate, huge thing where we've got to find out what all the chickens are looking at, right? And we spend billions of dollars and we blast off with this massive force of you know, military and science-based people, and they all go and they land on the moon. And when they get there, there's just a bit of corn. It's just one bit of corn. All the chickens were looking at it for some reason.
It's a really nice caterpillar. I know, but then there's still the question of what is special about this piece of corn?
Well,
why? Indeed. Well, how did it get there?
Mm. But maybe there is nothing interesting about that. There's no interesting answer. There's no way to find it.
Andy, there's no interesting answer about how a piece of corn...
The answer's really mundane. They find out the answer and it's not interesting.
I know, but how did the chickens know? How can you...
However it is, it's not interesting.
It's not interesting.
I think that's has something about that to me. The idea that you could find a piece of corn on the moon and it's not interesting, the answer for how it got there... I wonder if you could find a prosaic, a non-interesting answer to that question. Because that sort of, in a way, is what science does, right? There's something miraculous in the universe, like a rainbow or, quantum interference of the Young's double slit experiment. And then they just find up a scientific explanation and it's just boring.
Some bursts that come from some faraway star system that is like repetitive and seems like it's mathematical.
Seems exactly like a message from an alien civilization. They always find some way to make it seem really dull.
Yeah,
it's the same with this bit of corn on the moon and all the chickens.
All the chickens. And I mean, I do like this idea because I do like the idea of like a film that is all about taking the magic out of stuff.
Mm, thank you.
You know, that does kind of reproduce the scientific process. But then, why are all the chickens all looking in one direction towards the moon? And then they go, well, turns out didn't have anything to do with the moon. It was like a virus. It was like a chicken plague.
Yeah, and I think that's good.
So then...
I remembered my thing from earlier that I was trying to think of, and this may not be anything, but it was I'm imagining like a J.K. Rowling situation where like she's problematic, right? And I was also thinking of a cross between that and the Britney Spears situation where she was in her people, you know, some people in her life decided that she wasn't able to be trusted with her own decision making. Yeah. She had that conservatorship. I was thinking of a situation in which fictional character people. Creatives who are too probo lose the have the intellectual property or have the fictional characters the control of them and their fictional universes taken over by a conservatorship, right? So you're like, sorry, you are no longer allowed to be in charge of this character. Okay, it's going to be in the safe hands of a team of lawyers. Or something like that, you know, and they are the ones.
So which character? Like, sorry,
I'm thinking. But this is like somebody losing control, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So they're like, okay, J.K. Rowling, you don't no longer get to make any decisions. You can maybe still write the books, but you have to do it under the guidance of a legal team who will make all the decisions. Or, you know, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, you've made two bad Indiana Jones movies now. Okay, you're no longer allowed to do this. It's been decided in a court of law that you can't. You're not in a fit state to be in charge of these things.
You're now under an Indiana Jones conservatorship.
Yes. As I said, maybe this isn't interesting.
No, I mean, but I think if the film doesn't do well enough, at some point, the legals need to get involved.
Hmm. Yeah, and maybe the fans get to take over. The biggest fan gets to take over. Wouldn't that be good?
Maybe the fans get to control his body and mind. Yeah.
George Lucas's or someone else?
Yeah, like as in, they somehow there's a computer system that allows a group of fans to act like individual neurons.
Yeah, oh, that's good. Hive mind.
Yeah, hive mind. And then they can make decisions in that kind of way. Mm. Now, I feel like I saw something on the internet years ago where that was kind of happening, and I don't remember if it had any success, but... anyway, I don't know.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway, we've done the episode, Alistair.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll just write character conservatorship. Or ship, like, what's her name?
J.K. Rowling.
Potter. Oh, yeah, J.K. Here it is. J.K. Rowling and Harry.
Hmm.
Okay, Andy, that is the episode. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, Bjorn Hopp, for being the best christener. I don't think we could have had a more Christmassy listener for this episode. And also... J.K. Rowling has her ability to control Harry taken away while sitting in a sleigh. Okay, so the first sketch, Andy, and this is in inverted commas, is corrugation is causation.
Yes.
Somebody who
Really good. My favorite one.
Guy who thinks corrugation. then we've got evolution kill the full... The full G-spotted rectum.
Yeah, that was a real listen to this with your ceramics class sketch idea.
What was that?
Remember the person, the listener who played the podcast for their ceramics class, and it was the one where we were talking about something real fucked, right, really early on in the episode.
Yeah,
that's what I think about every time we have a messed up sketch way too early in the... Anyway, it's fine. It's good.
You need the whole ceramics class to get adjusted to how we talk and who we are before we launch into something vulgar about body parts. We've got to win some trust. Yeah. Then we've got comedian going to the moon so that he can be as edgy as he likes.
That's my favorite one. It actually is.
You've already said that about two sketches on this.
Well, the first one I was joking.
Okay, great. Then we got the blood blister and regular blister Christmas Santa outfit for work Christmas.
I think that might be my favorite one.
Then we have Andy blood as a Christmas songwriter. Old man finally gets most listened to song of the year, but reveal that they're the last two people.
Yeah, good.
Then we've got Father Christmas puns, film execs trying to come up with film ideas. Then we've got diplomatic immunity guy eats prime minister, police can't do anything. immortal guy who jumps head first off of buildings as a superpower to use, you know, as a way to fight crime.
The diplomatic immunity sketch in which the ambassadors all throw themselves out of the window because for some reason they mistakenly think that diplomatic immunity means they can't die.
Oh yeah, there is also, I have written that down, I forgot to read it. Diplomatic immunity guy jumps out of window, dies. And then it says, it happened again. Then we have dating show with guy who is immortal and has lived billions of years.
Yep.
Then we have...
And he's looking for love. He's ready to try again.
It's beautiful. He believes in marriage. The institution of marriage. I think it'd be really interesting to picture a guy like that who is also very conservative. Then you have Mother Christmas, battery pooping Mrs. Claus. I mean, you know, you get the point. We got having a Cherokee person, you whisper your porn term to, and they describe it. Then we have a new chicken scam using chickens to find tumors or other stuff. Yeah, you kind of get the point of that one. Mm-hmm. Then we got the M. Night Shyamalan movie where all the chickens start looking in the same direction, but we find out why it's all mundane and not interesting at all in the way that science does. Mm. And then we have the character conservatorship where directors lose, like J.K. Rowling, or writers and directors lose control over their characters because they've either become insane or they've not made enough good stuff with them. You know, like it's like what George Lucas kind of did to himself. He's just like, well, I'm not going to make any more good stuff or stuff that people are going to like with this, so you just take over.
And give me $2
billion. $2 billion. You ever seen those things where it's like those videos where it's just like George Lucas appears in the background of this documentary?
It's my favorite genre of media.
Yeah, and then like, or just like photos of him eating in a food court.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing, like, because he just looks like such a normal man.
Mm.
But he launched, like, you know, the biggest franchise the world has ever seen.
Yep.
Anyway, I think why doesn't he make films now?
Coming up with it. I think he might have been involved in the new Indiana Jones film. I think that's why I said that. But maybe not. Oh. Maybe he wasn't. But I think there's something about that thing where, like, you find out that it's a boring explanation for the chicken-looking thing. Mm. That is kind of what the twist is at the end of a fair few M. Night Shyamalan movies. Like, there's that one, The Village, where it's like, oh, there's all this creepy shit happening in the woods, and oh, it turns out that it was the parents doing it to keep the kids scared from leaving this, you know, cult-like community or something. You know, it's like quite the end, it's quite, you're like, oh, the world is full of weird, mysterious possibilities. And then at the end, it's like, oh, no, wait. It's actually just a normal explanation. It's quite boring. But then he also does that other kind of film where it's The Sixth Sense, and it was like, it turns out ghosts are real, and that's not boring.
Yeah, it turns out magic and things like that. Yeah, right. I hadn't watched the ones where there's nothing magical yet. So, but I think he did release a new one, which with a cabin, maybe.
A cabin, eh?
Yeah, a cabin this time, instead of a full village. He's just getting to smaller and smaller things. You know, then he'll probably do a thing about the grain of sand that makes you horny. That kind of thing, instead of the beach that makes you old.
All right, Alistair, let's go.
All right.
Thank you very much for listening to the Think Tank. Two in the One Horse Open Sleigh. Two in the Snowbank.
Two in the Snow Tank. Yeah. What about...
Yes.
Oh, we did it. You know what's bad is that George Lucas gets credits for as a writer on almost everything that's made that has Star Wars in it.
Yeah, he does.
So then his IMDb is useless.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, because he hasn't actually... Yep. Yeah, well, that's what you've got to do. You just come up with a bit of IP and then you just... You know, you're just sort of all over everything. He's sort of like the Genghis Khan of IP. You know?
Genghis Khan IP.
Genghis IP.
I gotta go before I keep saying stupid shit, so...
Yep. Bye! Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Thank you. Have a really good Christmas. Love you.
And Christmas. Bye!
Ding, ding, ding. And to all a good night. Bye!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.